Hey guys, it's Brennan Allen, and you're listening to Pure Evil MMA.
Guys, we have our second special guest of the night, and then we are going to get into the celebrations of what I've been calling UFC Christmas of UFC 205. Ted Check's going to be coming on. Minion has something special planned, but let's get into our second interview of the night. We have a surprise, somebody who's fighting for the middleweight title for Valor Fights, and I am so pumped about this. All you guys got to do to check out Valor Fights, you don't need a TV. All you need is your computer and flowcombat.com. That's right, Brendan Allen, who's going to be fighting at Valor Fight 39 for the middleweight title, is coming on right. All right, guys, it sounds like we have our first guest fighter of the night, Brendan Allen, who's going to be fighting at Valor Fights 39 coming December 2nd. How's it going, Brendan?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Where are you right now doing the podcast?
I'm just sitting in my living room right now. Man, just got done getting a shower from training and getting a little food.
And are you ready for this weekend's fight? I know that you have an upcoming fight December 2nd. A lot of fighters aren't into watching fights. Are you one of those guys?
No, I watch everything I can, man. Legacy, RFA, UFC, Bellator. I watch a little bit of everything. I like to know what's out there and like to see how the game's evolving so I can stick with it and go get ahead of it.
And I like to ask everyone I interview, what was one of your inspirations growing up? Like, what fighter was it? Was it, from being a little kid, we watched WWF growing up, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold. But then as we got a little older and started going to Blockbuster, we saw UFC 1 and renting those, at least for me. What's your story like getting into MMA?
Well, I was always around sports as a kid. I mean, my dad was in the military, so I played sports on base and stuff like that. When he got out, I was able to play football, and my brother switched high schools and made a friend that was doing jiu-jitsu, and at that time, there was in the Couture and Liddell trilogy, and I believe it was the second fight that when I started watching UFC, and my brother's friend said he did jiu-jitsu and wanted to know if we would like to come try it out. My dad asked me, so we went over there and watched, and I told my dad I definitely wanted to do it, and so he bought me a gi that day instead of letting me use one to try, and because I told him I'd stick with it instead of trying the week free, and I finished the season out in football and never played football again. Just trained jiu-jitsu, got into wrestling in high school, and started fighting when I was of age. So
before we talk about any of your upcoming fight, a huge problem in America and worldwide, especially with social media, is bullying nowadays. When you were younger and you went to these classes as a kid, how was it? Did you have a hard time people picking on you, or what was it like? Do you have any bullying experiences?
No, man, I really don't. I mean, my dad always raised me and my brother to stick up for ourselves. I mean, don't go looking for trouble and don't start anything. But I mean, if someone, attempts to bully or put their hands on you, mainly put their hands on you. I mean, he always told us don't listen to the talk, but if they put their hands on you, that's a different story. So I never had that problem. I mean, I've gotten like one fight when I was little and that was it. And after that, I've never had any trouble with that. That's just not something that I was raised to, I guess, have happened to me, I would guess.
Well, with social media nowadays, we see a lot of young kids struggling with it. They look up to fighters like yourself. If you have any words of advice for anyone out there that is being bullied, what would you like to say to them?
Honestly, man, I mean, the way the world's going today, man, people are just a whole bunch of talk. Usually you won't see anything action transpire from that. It's just a bunch of talk, and they'll try to get people to bandwagon with them to try to pick on others and things like that. I think it's all just being mentally strong and not worrying about what others think. So obviously it's a lot easier said than done, but I think it's just about being raised to have mental toughness, and I think that comes from the parents and things like that. But it definitely can be a learned trait, and I think martial arts is a good way to give that to children.
I gotta agree, man. I think what they teach in gyms nowadays, I didn't learn in football or baseball, like you said. It's almost that gang mentality growing up, and we're seeing it a lot in social media nowadays, and fighters do. Anyone that puts themselves out there got to deal with it. So I appreciate your words of advice, but man, you got a fight coming up December 2nd. Your 4-1 record with 2 knockouts, 2 submission wins. and you're going to be fighting in the main event for Valor Fight 39 against Sydney Wheeler. What can you tell us about your opponent?
Well, I'm actually 5-1. I mean, Sherdog, they didn't put it on Sherdog yet, but they have it on Tapology and everything else. But, I mean, I know Sydney's just going to circle around and try to pace himself by circling and then trying to rush in real fast to throw a couple punches. And that's really all I think he's going to do. I don't think he's going to be able to handle my style, my strength, and my speed, things like that. I think it's just going to be a bad night for him. I know he, after his last fight, he definitely won't take me down, so... I'm not worried about it at all. I know I'm better everywhere, so I think I determine how the fight ends.
Are you somebody that likes to watch a lot of tapes on your opponent, or do you not like getting it into your head too much?
I used to watch all videos I could find. Now I just my dad watches all the videos, tells me what they're good at, what I need to be on the lookout for, what things I need to kind of, you know, move a little bit in training or just kind of look for and just sharpen up on, because I try to stay well-rounded around everywhere. I don't really train for a specific fight, or I might just sharpen a tool here or there. But he watches all my videos. I might watch one or two just to make sure, but my dad tells me which ones to watch, which one's the best. So my dad's really my main video guy.
So it sounds like your father, you know, is a big inspiration to yourself, to you, and we see this with Chris Weidman, Wonder Boy, who both fighters are going to be on that UFC 205 card. Does your father corner you?
Yes. Ever since I've turned pro, my dad has been, well, he's always been in all my fights except for my world tournament in Las Vegas, just because he couldn't make it out, get away from work and everything. But he's been in all my pro fights. He's in all my pro fight corners, so... it's definitely nice to have him there. It's a different bond between us and me and my coach, or me and my friends, or things like that. He knows me. Obviously, he's raised me since I was born, so he knows the goods, the bads, when something's not right, when something's going good, or how to change that around. So it's always good to have him in the corner. It's just that tool that I need.
So you fought in the WFC, the LFC. What brings you to Valor Fights?
I had talked to Tim Lowe before. They had asked me to fight, or we had talked briefly before, and I asked how long it would take for me to fight Sid, because I just want to fight the best that I can come across. I'm not here to pad my record like a lot of guys are nowadays or anything like that. I want to make my way to the big show the old-fashioned way of work hard, fight the best to be the best. So I always saw everything happening with Sid. So I was like, hey, I want to fight Sid. Who do I got to beat in your organization to fight him? And they told a couple names and the timeline and things like that. So I booked a fight for Mid-City Fight Promotions and against a guy with a lot of fights and fought a lot of good guys. And before that, let me back up. They had messaged me and asked me if I wanted to fight Sid on short notice because Joe Riggs had backed out. At that time, I had just verbally agreed to Renaissance MMA in New Orleans that I would fight Jordan Plaisance for their 185 title. So I told Tim that I had already verbally agreed and was just waiting on the contract for Renaissance. So I couldn't take it. 2 weeks later, Renaissance told me that I couldn't fight because I wasn't 21 and couldn't get into the casino. So then I had to go looking, and luckily Mid-City had a spot on there for me. So I took that fight, and Gerald stepped and fought Sid, who ended up winning and going to RFA and taking that title. So after that, I talked to Tim, and I was like, do you have anything before the year's end? And he was like, yes, sir, we have December. I was like, do you need an 85er? He said, possibly. And I asked him who he had for me. He was like, well, what do you think about Sid? And I told him, I'm in. I talked to my family. They were good with the date, and went from there, made it happen.
I like to let my listeners know a little bit about like hobbies and stuff outside of fighting. We just had Halloween pass us by. What did you do for Halloween, and do you like horror movies?
I'm into horror movies a little bit. They don't really scare me anymore. When I was little, I mean, I used to obviously get scared and have nightmares, but now that I'm older, just, I don't know, they're all right. My fiance gets jumpy and all that kind of stuff, but they don't bother me that much. I was training on Halloween. I didn't have my niece. She was at her mother's house, so and I just trained and just getting ready, man. If I'm not training or hunting, then I'm at home hanging out with my family.
Oh, you're a hunter. What do you like hunting? Deer and turkey? What do you hunt for?
Oh, deer.
And do you eat the meat?
I own 5 acres in Illinois.
Nice.
What's that?
Do you eat the meat? You eat the venison?
Oh, I'll eat anything that I kill. If I kill it, I gotta eat it.
Yeah, I gotta agree, man.
I can't let it go to waste.
You skin it and everything yourself?
Yeah, I'll skin it and debone it and everything like that, and then I'll just take it to a processor and have everything done. But this year, my buddy Zach, they have a place out in Chalmette where they have some hogs and stuff like that where we go pig hunting. So we'll probably kill our own hog, and I'll hopefully kill a couple deer next week, and we'll mix it ourselves and everything and process it ourselves. So at least one of the deer we'll process ourselves. Wow. To just see how it comes out. So that'll be interesting.
Wild hogs, man. I mean, all of my listeners must know that you do not want to mess with any of those things. That's got to be pretty exciting. Have you ever done that before?
Oh, yeah, man. We went like 4 or 5 times last year. We just used bows. I used my crossbow last year, and it was pretty insane. We had this like 500 pounder, and it was laying. It's in like a dump site. So there was this old mattress, and this 500 pounder was just racked out on the bed on the old mattress. And if you're downwind from them, you're fine, man. You're not gonna. They won't smell you or anything. So you just. You can walk up on them and touch them, and they'll know you're there. But other than that, they won't know anything. And they're if they can smell you, you're screwed, because they don't see very well, but they smell really and hear really good. But this one was laying on this bed, man. I got like 3 feet from it, and I was like, Zach, are you gonna shoot it if he gets up? And he's like, yeah, I got you. And so I walk over and I realize how big he was, and I was like, no, I'm good. I turn around and walk back behind the pile that he was at and throw a rock at it. And it scooted out of there. But we killed a 400-pounder, about a 300, 350-pounder last year, and a couple, like, 150s. We didn't want the big ones because we couldn't get it out of there.
If they smell you, will they'll run you down, right? They'll charge at you.
Unless you're real close or they have babies, they normally won't. But usually they'll just run away from you because they're pack animals, so they just want to get away. But if you have them cornered or if they have a baby, then they'll probably run at you. But we haven't had any run at us. If they smell us, they just take off the other way with their little packs that they have.
So as a hunter and as a fighter, how do those things connect with one another? I mean, when you're in the ring or in the octagon or in the cage, I mean, you got to stay calm, especially when somebody's trying to submit you or something. When you're out in the field, you got to stay really steady. Slow your breathing down or whatever to get the right aim. How do both fighting and hunting are similar to you? How are they both similar to you?
I try not to look too much into hunting, man. I just that's the one place I can go to actually get away and not think of fighting. And so that's just fun to me. Obviously, fighting's fun, or else I wouldn't do it. But at times it can be stressful, and but when it's time to step in that cage, it's a serious time, and it's time to take care of business. And so I just try to keep them two separate. I don't really try to think too much into hunting. I just try to enjoy it while I can. You know, it's my few days of getaway, shall I say.
Well, speaking of wild animals, I know that a lot of fighters on fight night, a switch goes off. Does that wild animal instinct go off for you come fight night?
Not really. Since I've lost, it really helped me mentally more than anything. Before that, I never took anything away from my fights. I never like could take away and be like, oh, I need to work on that, because I just look at it and be like, man, that's not me. Since that loss, I've been able to start coming into my own and calming down and not getting overzealous when I rock somebody and things like that. And so I just stay really calm now, pick my shots, and just try to play it like chess and stay ahead of my opponent. And think of my next move and where I'm going to go. So I try to be very smart, very, very calm. And when it's time to pounce, it's time to pounce, you know. But you got to do it. And it's kind of weird to say, but you still have to do it in a calm manner. You know, you can't just get out of hand, which I've done that, and it's got me in bad situations. And but, yeah, it's just – I just stay calm, man.
As we get to the end of this interview, I got two more questions for you. If your opponent is listening in right now, what would you want him to know?
Man, I just hope he comes ready, man. I don't want no excuses. There's not going to be any excuses from my side. So, just no excuses, man. I'll be ready. I'll be there come fight night. And I'm not a big talker. I don't really have to talk to boast myself up. I know how good I am, and I just got to go out there and show it.
And my final question for you, and then we'll get over to you giving your shout-outs. I have to ask everybody this, or everyone will send me to the gallows if I don't ask every fighter I interview. UFC 205, you said that you're watching. Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez. Who does Brendan Allen side with here?
Man, I'm not going to lie. I'm a Conor McGregor fan. I'm going to go with Conor, man. His head movement and his punches, speed and accuracy is just something that can't be taught, man. He's got a natural ability, and he's definitely a great stand-up artist. I don't think Eddie can handle that punch that I think he'll be able to connect with within five rounds at some point or another. You know, I know Eddie's going to come in there and try to put him against the fence and grind and stuff like he normally does and is good at, but he's taking some punches from other people that I don't think, and from what I've heard, doesn't hit as hard as Conor McGregor. So I got to go with Conor on this one.
I really appreciate the interview. What I usually like to do at the end, if there's anything that I missed, anything that you want to talk about or touch up on, or sponsors, shout outs, the floor is now yours, brother.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. It was good to talk to you. I'd like to thank all my sponsors, Anytime Fitness of Franklinton, K-Ray Construction, Jack Usher Construction, Friendly Motorsports is definitely a big one, along with K-Ray. Those are my two biggest sponsors that helped me out tremendously, along with all my other ones. I just want to thank my coach, Rich Clementi, my other jiu-jitsu coach, Sean Gayton, and all my training partners, Zach Fears, everyone at Allen Belcher's that helps me out and spars and everything like that. It's been great. I can't wait for 2 weeks to put on the show and show everyone what I'm made of. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. Hey guys, it's Brendan Allen, and you're listening to Pure Evil MMA.